Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast with Watt Harris. Well, it's Monday. We're back at it. And of course, I'm in my commute as well. And Lord knows what's going on here because I'm trying to get on the freeway and it's backed up. Maybe it's a case of the moon days. I don't know. Well, starting off, I guess we'll talk March Madness here in the beginning because, well, for one thing, I gave my March Madness picks. And they were really bad. So bad. I was really off on a lot of them. But, looking back at the Sweet 16, you know, you had Sweet 16, nothing too suspenseful. You had Loyola Chicago winning a game over on Nevada, and pretty much it was already in the books. I mean, the guy hit a late three to cut the lead to one, but really, that just making the score look as close as it was. I thought Nevada would beat Loyola Chicago. I thought they would be, they'd be challenged by Nevada, which they kind of were, but I figured Nevada would pull it off. But Nevada was sloppy in their wins, and obviously, you can't do it against this Loyola Chicago team. I had Texas A&M beat Michigan, and Michigan beat the crap out of Texas A&M. They almost dropped 100 on them. That's how bad that game was. I thought A&M was going to fly high, but Michigan spread the ball out with their guards, and they were just drilling threes left and right. A&M just couldn't stop them. Kentucky, we all thought was going to be in the Final Four. They choked against Kansas State of all teams, and I don't think Kansas State was all that great. But they were good enough to beat a Kentucky team that they just choked. I didn't think FSU would hit with Gonzaga. I mean, they just beat Gonzaga. They crushed them. Gonzaga really had no chance in that game, and I thought they would go to another Elite Eight, but Gonzaga lost a good bit from their team, and there was talk over the week of them joining the Mountain West Conference, which I found kind of fascinating. Suppose it's going to help their tournament resume, but do they really need help with their resume that bad? I mean, they've been to March Madness almost every, just about every year. So I don't really see how they would need to just jump into another conference. Maybe it's more money, more television exposure probably is what they're looking for, but they've been doing well in their conference right now. And if anything, this opens the door for maybe St. Mary's to be the top dog in the conference, where they can go to the NCAA tournament every year now. Kansas, obviously, they beat Clemson by four. Clemson gave a good run, but in the end, Kansas was just too much. And then, of course, we had Villanova and West Virginia. I figured the Hoopies would give the Nova a game for most of it, but in the end, Nova would have went out with her, with her talent. From top to bottom, they're more complete than West Virginia is. But they had a good, but the, you know, West Virginia always has a good run in the tournament. I mean, well, they've only been the one Final Four, but they've always seemed to wreak some sort of havoc in the tournament. The fact that they got to Elite Eight before Pitt did makes me kind of envious. Because the Final Four is something we've been dying to get to, and we've had the teams to do it. And for some reason, when the tournament comes, we just, we choke. And of course, we choke there as well. And it looks like there's either a traffic light out or there's a wreck somewhere. If I have to guess, it's probably a traffic light out. No, it's a prior wreck on the freeway. It's raining here in Houston, which means you're usually good for a wreck on the freeway. I don't know what it is with driving in the rain here in Houston, but it just it plays with people's freaking minds, and it makes people drive like idiots, like this guy in front of me who's just cutting in and out of lanes without using his turn signal. But yeah, I mean, I've been envious of West Virginia. I mean, they just seem to always at least get past the first weekend. Although last year, I mean, they went out really early against, I think it was Gonzaga. Wasn't expecting that. And of course, Elite Eight matchups happened, and pretty much, but you know, before I get to that, one thing I forgot to talk about was Syracuse and Duke. It was a close game throughout. Syracuse, they weren't really that good offensively this year, but they play their zone defense so well. Teams just have such a hard time going against it. And at one point late in the game, Duke was up 3. Syracuse was taking the ball in, and Duke fouled, being up 3. For me, it's a mixed bag with fouling up when you're up 3. But in the tournament, I mean, if it would happen during a regular season, if it was Pitt, if they would do it, well, I mean, if it was the team we had now, shoot, if they were up 3 and they fouled, I wouldn't have cared, really. Because we just need a freaking win. But if my team has a top 25 team and we're fouling up 3 during the season, I'm not too crazy about it. And in the case of Duke and the game they were playing, I don't blame him for fouling up 3. Because if I'm Duke, I don't want to go to overtime playing the Syracuse team, because they're dangerous. And, of course, anything can happen at that point. So they did what they had to survive and go into the next round. But, of course, the Elite Eight, Duke would meet their fate as they would go to overtime against Kansas. They had the opportunity to beat Kansas in that game. Well, for one thing, they were up 3, and they gave up a 3-pointer. And it was a nice shot by Kansas on that to tie that game up. Once that game was tied, they were screwed on that. They were screwed then. And on top of that, of all the players you can give the ball to in that final 20 plus seconds. You give the ball to stupid Grayson Allen. I mean, he had all those other, he had all their other talent around him. A lot of better players he could have dished the ball to, but they get, he decides to take the ball in his hands and try to win the game. I'm not sure if people, I'm not sure people have ever told Grayson Allen that he's not that guy. When it comes down to it, you're not the guy we're giving the ball to. Because you just don't have it. I mean, it was a horrible friggin' sequence for him too, because the way he was dribbling the ball, I'm surprised Kansas didn't strip him at that point or let him, he loses it. It was a horrific sequence. But Kansas moved on. Of course, as time was ticking down, Duke needed a shot. Grayson Allen chucked up a bunch of threes, and eventually he nailed a three, but it was they were down, I guess, about 7 points at that point. Ooh. And of course it's all about the cover at that point. Or what you picked on the crowd line. I mean, I had Duke losing to Kansas in the crowds line app where you predict scores. Adam was the 87-74, so I wasn't too happy when Grayson Allen hit that three because it hurt my score in that game. Which I do recommend to you guys if you want to, you know, play a free game. Go to the crowd line, download the app, put your email in, stuff like that. And what you do, basically, it's free. You don't pay nothing. And all you do is predict scores of games. It can be baseball, soccer. Right now, it's basketball. A lot of basketball. And if you win certain contests, you'll win a $100 Amazon gift card, which I won one during the NFL playoffs. And I've won a bunch during this basketball season. Not $100 cards, but I've won $10 Amazon gift cards. Like, I just won one last week, actually. Because I finished the top 25 in the scores. So, yeah, it's like, you know, number one, you get a $100 gift card. I think 2 to 5, you get a $25 gift card. And then 6 to 25, you get $10 Amazon gift cards. So, yeah, check out that app. It's really cool. I mean, if you're... if you're sick of playing FanDuel and not winning whatever, tired to dump your funds in, or as for me, FanDuel is banned in Houston. I mean, DraftKings is still legal here, but the thing about it is daily fantasy sports are pretty much illegal in Texas overall. So I really don't feel like playing DraftKings. And, you know, weighing a whole bunch of money, and of course, having the, you know, Attorney General up knocking at my door. But Villanova move on. Michigan moved on, of course. There was a big stink with that, where down 4, Leonard Hamilton didn't foul with 10 seconds left, and of course, he got supposedly nasty with the reporter. I think the guy just wanted to go to bed. And, you know, he talked about the whole thing, and he didn't apologize about what happened. I don't think he really had to. You know, you're going up to him after a tense moment, and that was that. Loyola Chicago moved on to the Final Four, which shocked the hell out of me. Hell, it shocks everybody. But I did pick him in my in the free FanDuel bracket contest, though. Their only surviving team is Loyola Chicago. I had... you had to pick 5 teams. I picked Loyola Chicago, Arizona, North Carolina, and I think Michigan State. And they all died, I think, early. Actually, I think the first weekend they all died. But still, I mean, you have one bracket where it's Michigan versus Loyola Chicago, and then you got Duke, not Duke, I'm sorry, Kansas, and Villanova. I think, obviously, the game the people are going to say it's going to determine a national title is Kansas and Villanova. Two really good teams. I thought this year would be the year of the Big 12. And it was hilarious because you had one person from the Post-Gazette make a stupid post about how Loyola Chicago is in and no ACC team is in the Final Four. I guess he was doing it to try to troll all the ACC, you know, Pitt/ACC brethren. And I had to remind him that the ACC played in the national championship game for basketball for the last 3 years. So obviously we can't beat them all. Stupid ass. But anyways, this could be the end of the Jayhawk, but Villanova is a really good team, and I don't know how that's going to, you know, I'm not sure if Kansas can survive, but still, it's going to be a tough game. And I mean, Kansas has been challenged before in this tournament, so especially this one as well. I mean, they've been challenged, so something could happen there. I mean, the Big 12 is going to be scary good next year because Tech, you know, had a nice run. Kansas and Bruce Weber, Kansas State and Bruce Weber, you know, they had a good run as well. I mean, there was a good bunch of teams, West Virginia. TCU, obviously. I mean, they're going to be in the talk next year for the Big 12 title, probably. Michigan, Loyola, Chicago, I think it's going to be a really good game. Despite what some think. Or they may think right now. I think it's going to be a really good game, mainly because you got two really well coached teams. Because Baylor's teams are always really well coached, and this little Chicago team—they're just well coached as well. They, you know, both these programs—they play team ball and they work. So this game may be better than the Kansas and Villanova game. We'll see. But we'll talk about that later in the week. Now we get to the Pitt head coaching search. As I said last podcast, I recommend that people just sit back and chill out. And, of course, that didn't work out. Because you got certain accounts posting stuff. Obviously, the hot topic yesterday was John Shire, an assistant to Duke for 3 years. Supposedly being considered as a serious candidate for the Pitt basketball job. Well, for one thing, that's dumb. Second of all, this coaching search has had such a tight lip that I really doubt he's being considered at this point. Nobody knows who's being considered. There are guys that have been interviewed, and of course, you know, you had the coach from St. Bonaventure that got interviewed, and people freaked out over that. Mark Schmidt, yeah. I knew the name sounded familiar because he was at Robert Morris for so many years. And he actually built Robert Morris up to be a, you know, decent program. Because they were an absolute disaster for a while. And I know when Dane had him for 1 year, they won only two games. Then he bounced after that year to go to Duquesne, which was, I found odd, because from Duquesne's standpoint, how the hell do you hire a guy that just took Robert Morris to only two wins total that year? I just never understood. I remember he was on the Mark Mann show, and the Mark Mann was interviewing him. And I just was like, how in the hell did this, they hire him? So, you had that. John Shire, obviously, is being considered as a serious candidate, which I thought was, you know, dumb. Because you're better off just hiring Brandon Knight, because he was an assistant for the longest time, and he still is. Right now at Rutgers. He's just as qualified as Shire. And I posted a picture of Sean King, and I said, if you really want to stop this Shire hiring, just summon this guy. He'll clean this out real quick. And of course, another person. You know what? I said Bruce Pearl with Kansas State. I meant Bruce Weber. One of the two. I don't know. They have the same freaking name. Who cares? Speaking of him, he was considered as a candidate for Pitt as well, which is probably a ploy from his agent to be a probably get some more money. I can't see him ever being considered a Pitt, because if you look at his resume, it's good, but he took Illinois in the national title game, but that was like in his first or second year just taking over that program. So somebody had to leave him with some good players at least. So he did pretty well with them. And of course, then once his players left, he had a bunch of down years, and Illinois kind of fell off the map, and they haven't really got there since. And of course, he moves on. He takes over Kansas State, and of course, Kansas State had Bob Huggins, and they had another coach. I forget his name. He coaches in South Carolina now. He was a really good recruiter, too, and a good coach. So, obviously, he left Weber really some really good players there as well. So, I really wouldn't consider him either. The thing is nobody really knows what's going on with the search. All I know is he lost on Danny Hurley. Sean Miller, obviously, that too. We know nothing. And so, like I said, chill. Because people freaking out for John Shire is even more ridiculous. And basically, it's a Twitter account called Coaching Changes, and they don't know shit from anything. They've been wrong on just about anything, and when Pitt fans call them out, they start trashing Pitt fans. So they know nothing. But anyways, guys, I'll just leave it at that, because there's not much else to talk about on those two topics. I mean, I could talk about Johnny Manziel and Colin Kaepernick, which was, you know, people think Johnny Manziel is being blackballed. I guess like Colin is, but the thing about Johnny is he's not so much being blackballed. It's because he was a shitty quarterback and he had a lot of off-field issues, and At this juncture, I don't think teams are really going to consider investing any time in him. But I mean, unlike Colin, at least he's getting workouts. Hell, Colin Kaepernick can't even get a workout. So, you got that. But anyways, guys, enjoy the rest of the week. Hell out of Pitt. Bye.